This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The persistence of child poverty in America. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, we'll be watching hearings that begin today looking into the effect of further raising U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. In early July, higher import taxes could kick in on all sorts of things, clothing, sporting equipment, mobile phones, laptops. And this weekend, India hit the U.S. with some retaliatory tariffs of its own, a response to U.S. steel and aluminum penalties levied on many countries. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is on the line from London. Hi, Anu.
Hi, David.
So when the U.S. raised tariffs on foreign metals, we saw countries like Canada and Mexico responding right away, or at least pretty quickly. Why did it take so long for India to respond?
Well, it did respond. It did say that it was going to increase tariffs on U.S. imports, but it didn't actually implement those threats. I think part of the reason was that there were these ongoing talks between India and the U.S. And remember that India was facing this big national election. Now that's out of the way. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is back with a huge mandate. And the fact that President Trump removed India from that generalized system of preferences where roughly $5 billion worth of Indian goods were coming in tariff-free, I think India now feels it can respond, and so it has raised tariffs on things like American apples and almonds and walnuts.
So I've been writing this using the phrase trade tensions, U.S. and India. Would you say it's now a trade war?
I don't think it's a trade war yet. In 2018, total U.S.-India trade was worth $142 billion. That's a sevenfold increase since 2001. So nobody really wants to completely upset that. But certainly there are barriers. The U.S. wants much more open access for things like U.S. dairy goods and medical devices. And India is trying to sort of protect both its, you know, growing economy and the developing parts of its own economy.
Anu, thank you.
Thanks, David.
More than 13 million children live below the poverty line in America, according to a report today from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. That's as of 2017, the latest data available. And the report says in 30 years, the U.S. has made little progress. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
In 2017, the child poverty rate was 18%. Go back about three decades to 1990. Also 18%. Noah Berger at the Annie E. Casey Foundation says there are a lot of reasons for that. One is an underinvestment in education. Another, wages.
A core part of reducing child poverty is making sure that jobs pay enough to support a family. And even when we've had strong economic growth over the past several decades, it largely hasn't translated into higher wages for low and middle income people.
Childhood poverty can have long-lasting effects. Robert A. Moffat, who teaches economics at Johns Hopkins University, says research shows kids who grow up poor end up also having
lower levels of education, higher rates of unemployment when you're an adult, and lower wages, so lower earnings, all of which contribute to poverty when you're an adult, too.
The report also found that child poverty is way worse in some parts of the country. It's 28% in Louisiana and 58% in Puerto Rico. But in New Hampshire, it's only 10%. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Markets, the FTSE in London is little changed. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up a tenth of a percent or less, with the U.S. Federal Reserve meeting on interest rates later this week. The lights are back on in Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay after a massive electricity failure Sunday morning affecting nearly 50 million people. The power is back on in most spots. No cause has been determined, but authorities say cyber attack is not a prime suspect. And the cash registers at Target stores in the U.S. are mostly back up after a Saturday nationwide outage there. Target blames an internal technology issue. Marketplace turns 30 this year, and to celebrate, we're going to go back to the 80s. Check out our mighty fine new thank you gifts that you can choose from when you become a Marketplace investor. Your donation, large or small, will help us keep bringing you the news and information you trust for years to come. Donate today at marketplace.org. You've heard of community gardens, farmers markets, you've heard of pick-your-own farms. Now just add trees. They're called food forests that have sprouted up in dozens of cities. Atlanta has a new 7-acre one, as WABE's Stephanie Stokes reports.
The food forest is a lot like it sounds. Many trees, but also a garden out front.
We have okra, we got eggplant.
The garden is the domain of volunteer Douglas Hardiman. He guides me through rows of raised plant beds filled with vegetables and fruit.
Strawberries, we eat them all the time. We come out here and feed ourselves every morning.
That's the point of the food forest. People can pick up fresh produce for free. That's hard to find in this South Atlanta neighborhood. The nearest grocery store is 2 miles away. Food forest ranger Mike McCord takes me into the woods.
So right now we're walking through the 5 acres of the site that are forested.
He's with Trees Atlanta, a nonprofit partner with the city. He points out edible plants that are less recognizable.
And right in front of us here is a very mature mulberry.
Full of fruit that looks like blackberries. McCord says mulberry trees grow all over Atlanta.
There's food growing in our green spaces. We just don't know what it looks like.
So the food forest also can educate people about what's edible. Any new way to access affordable produce helps, says Mario Cambardella, the city's urban farming director. In this neighborhood, a third of residents live below the poverty line. And he says the city isn't only trying to fill the need for grocery stores.
Grocery stores are a very important step, but there has to be other strategies to support healthy communities.
Hardiman, the volunteer, is 63 and lives down the street. So he eats fresh produce from here and enjoys sharing it with his neighbors, especially the golden raspberry.
I can just see that light come to their eyes, and it's just like, I bet you just can't eat one. They are so delicious.
For now, while the forest is developing, the staff asks visitors to let volunteers harvest produce for them and to limit what they take to 1 pound per person. In 5 or so years, when more of the plants mature, the city estimates the site could produce tons of food. In Atlanta, I'm Stephanie Stokes for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.